The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hello and welcome as we lift up Jesus with Pastor Dudley Rutherford. I'm Kyle Welch. It is recorded in the book of John that Jesus once said, "If he is lifted up, he will draw all people unto himself." Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension are all linked to this glorious exaltation, and it is a call made to the entire world. No class, social status, race, or gender is excluded from this declaration. That is why we lift up the name of Jesus on this program every day. Our teaching pastor is Dudley Rutherford, and we join him right now with today's message.
You see, Satan comes along, and his desire is to kill, steal, and to what? To destroy. Well, I ask, kill what? Steal what? Destroy what? His desire is to kill, steal, and to destroy your soul. So if you're here today and you're feeling as if there's no pardon, there's no way out, that comes from the devil. If you're feeling that, then everything is going according to the devil's plan. If you feel as though there's no way out from your past, because God wants just the opposite. He wants you to know here today that regardless of what you've done in your past, there is a way out. Now, there's a difference between guilt and shame. I want you to write this down. Guilt is when you think that and say and believe, I did something bad. And you did. But shame is when you feel I'm a bad person. Guilt is a safety mechanism that God put inside of you. You should be thankful He put that in you. Shame, though, is an emotion that leads you to believe that you're worthless. Satan wants you to devalue yourself. Where God, on the other hand, places great value on you. And He does love you no matter what you do. He doesn't, I want to make this clear, He doesn't approve of any kind of sin. And I think we as Christians, we've justified too many things that we do, saying, well, God loves me anyway. He doesn't really care if I'm involved in these sins, whether they be little sins, medium-sized sins, or gigantic sins. And I just want you to know, I want you to hear it, that God doesn't approve of any kind of sin. Little sin, medium sin, big sin, all sins. God doesn't condone any of that. But God's desire is to cleanse you of that sin and to make you new again. So there are three windows that you have to look through clearly. Window number one, write this down, is the window of conviction. You have to reach a point where in the depths of your soul, you are convicted that all sin is wrong. Disobeying God in any form is wrong. Pride is wrong. Living for self is wrong. Lying is wrong. Lusting is wrong. And you're never going to get out from underneath the weight of guilt and shame until you first fall under this conviction that God's way is the right way. So this verse, 2 Corinthians 7:10, you should all know this verse. Have it underlined in your Bible, star, asterisk, exclamation marks, fingers pointing towards it. It says that godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. Guilt is actually a good thing if it leads you to repentance. Now, I've shared this with you before. Repentance is where if God's over here, you're not living for God, and you're living for what I call the three S's. There's three S's: sin, self, and Satan. And every day of your life, you get up and you're living for either sin, you're either living for self, or you're living for Satan. Repentance means that you turn away from sin, you turn away from self, you turn away from Satan, and instead of living for those things, you live for God. Jesus was the one who said in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you're going to perish. In other words, if you keep living like that, you're going to die. And so the worst place to be is where you're living in sin and there's no remorse. There's no regret. You're living a lie and you're accepting that lie as normal. That's what's happening in the United States of America. We got people living in every imaginable way that goes against the things of God, and we're accepting those things as normal, and we are celebrating those things. Jeremiah 3, verse 3, God told Israel, you have the forehead of a prostitute. What does that mean to have the forehead of a prostitute? That means that you sin and you no longer blush over that sin. If you have any understanding of the holiness of God, if you have any understanding that God has called us to live a holy life because He's a holy God and He's called us to be a holy people, if when you sin, you don't have any remorse or guilt, It's the worst place you can be. But if you do sin and you have this remorse, it's a good thing if it turns you back to following after God. You see, there's a net positive effect if you once again fall underneath the conviction of the Holy Spirit and you fall underneath the conviction of the Word of God and you fall underneath the conviction of God's calling upon your life. That guilt causes you to turn back to God. It said that godly sorrow leads us to repentance and motivates you to say, I don't want to live that life any longer. I don't want to be the prodigal son any longer. I don't want to be the prodigal daughter any longer. I don't want to live on the wrong path any longer. If there's a conviction that there's a difference between right and wrong, good and evil, righteousness and unrighteousness, conviction sets in and turns you back to God. Now, I just want to say this. There is a difference between godly sorrow and what we call general sorrow. Those are two different things. General sorrow comes whenever we face the sadness over the loss of something that we love. We grieve deep when we experience the death of a parent, the death of a child, the death of a friend. That's normal sorrow. But that's different than godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is when your heart is broken over your sin. And sin is simply, by definition, a lot of people don't know how to define sin. Sin is just, by definition, is missing the mark of what God's called you to live. And even though we desire to hit God's mark, we miss it most of the time. I know that I do. And whenever I do wrong and I miss that mark, Satan comes along and he whispers in my ear, you're no good. You blew it again. And you call yourself a Christian. And there's a temptation to accept and to believe that I'm worthless. But if I myself understand that I missed the mark, and my heart breaks, it's a good thing if my godly sorrow leads me to turn back to God. Because whenever I turn back to God, He welcomes me. And I know that He still loves me. And I know that He's never given up on me. And I know that I'm still His child. And I know that His grace still covers my sin. And I know that I still matter to Him. and I know his arms are still open wide, and I know that I no longer have to live in shame. I no longer have to live in defeat. I no longer have to live in guilt. Why? Because of window number two, the cross. And here's the only news you need to know. That when Jesus died on that cross, he took all of the sins that we have ever done and all the sins that we will ever do. And he took all our sins and he paid the debt. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, why, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him who had no sin, which is Jesus, to be sin for us on the cross, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. He bore your sin on the cross. He paid the penalty for your sin on the cross. He shed his blood for our sins on the cross. Colossians 2 verse 13 says, when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, which means you've never cut out the sinful things of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ and forgave us all of our sins. Our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. You say, I don't understand how Jesus died for... I understand he died for my past sins. How does he die for my sins I haven't even committed? Listen, when he died on that cross, all your sins were future. Verse 14, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us, he took it away by nailing it to a cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Whenever a criminal was condemned for a crime in Rome, they put him into prison. And they would take something and nail it to the door. It was called a certificate of debt. And there were two things on that piece of paper. One, the crime that the man had committed. The second thing was the number of years or days he would serve or she would serve for that crime. When they had fulfilled that penalty and served their time, their certificate would be marked, paid in full, taken to a judge, notarized, and that man would carry that certificate with him, and if anyone would ever accuse him of that crime, he would pull out that certificate, and he would say, look, I may have been guilty at one time, but my debt has been paid in full. Now, if it was a capital offense, let's say someone had taken the life of someone else, and so the penalty was a life for a life, they would nail the certificate above his head. That's one of the reasons why Pilate nailed above the head of Jesus on the cross the sign that said, this is the King of the Jews. Because in the land of Israel at that time, Rome said that Caesar is king. And so they hung that sign showing that's why he was there, because no man can be king but Caesar according to the Romans. But I want you to know that Jesus really didn't die for offending Caesar. He actually literally physically died for my sin and for your sin. And when he died, there was a tragedy and a triumph. It was tragedy because he had never done anything wrong. But it was triumphant in that he died for our sins so that our certificate could be marked paid in full. I want you to write these four things down as quick as you can write. Write quick as you can. He took away, when he died on that cross, he took away the condemnation for our sin. He took away the curse of the law. He took away the control of the devil. And he took away the conquest of death. He took away the condemnation of my sin. I'm no longer guilty because he paid the penalty for my sin. He took away the curse of the law because the law only proves that no one can keep it. And it's a curse. The law just shows how imperfect we all are. He took away the control of the devil, so now we have no longer have an excuse, because Jesus is more powerful than the devil, and we no longer have to live under the control of the evil one. And he took away the conquest of death, because we know that Jesus died on that cross. He was buried, but 3 days later, he resurrected. But I want to talk to you, and hang with me here for just a minute, about the consequence of the cross. Because I don't have time to talk about all four of those things. But I want you to know that we have been forgiven here today. You have been forgiven. Turn to your neighbor and say, "We have been forgiven." Go on, say, "We have been forgiven." Romans 8:1 says, "There's therefore thou no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus." Now, if you're not in Christ Jesus, you got all kinds of problems here today. But for those of you that are believers in Jesus Christ, there's therefore now no condemnation. Amen. Romans 5:18 says, "Consequently, just as the result of one trespass, one little sin, was condemnation for all men." What's he talking about? That's the sin of Adam. When Adam, one man sinned, it brought sin for all men. It brought condemnation for all of us. But so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life to all of us. Jesus died on that cross so that all men could be set free. Therefore, today, there's no need for anyone here today to feel the weight of guilt and shame if you're in Christ, because Jesus paid your debt. 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." But there's one last thing that I don't want you to leave till you hear this. Not only are we forgiven, but because of the fact that God has forgiven us, we can now offer forgiveness to others. Colossians 3:13, "Forgive as the Lord forgave you." I want to read that to you again. You are supposed to forgive just like the Lord has forgiven you. And what ails most of us, and what depresses most of us, what keeps most of us from being joyful, is the fact that we keep living in the past. We're either one of two things. We're either drowning in the despair and the guilt of our sin, which you don't need to do if you're in Christ. Those sins are gone, 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 gone. But the second thing that keeps us living in the past is when we are being swallowed alive by holding on to grudges and bitterness towards people that you simply can't forgive. This country is so divided, because this is how I think, and I'm upset, and I don't like anyone else who thinks differently than me. And in order to overcome your past and make your past history, you first have to know that you have been forgiven in Christ, and then you must pass that forgiveness on to others. Let's say you have a very expensive business suit, which this is not. Well, let's say you have one suit, it's a very expensive suit, and your friend asks you to borrow it, and you go, "Yeah, you're my friend, you can borrow my suit." And they bring it back, and it's ruined. It's torn. It's burned. They dropped hydrochloric acid on it. That suit cost you hundreds of dollars, maybe thousands if it was handmade. Question is, will you forgive them or not forgive them? How many of you would forgive them if that was you? Uh-huh. God might be testing you this week. How many of you are in church? Maybe you wouldn't. It was your suit. It cost you several thousand, maybe thousands of dollars. And they ruined it. They brought it back. You'd be so mad. You would not forget. How many? Anyone here today say you wouldn't forget? A couple of us, honest people. For those of you that raised your hand and said that you would forgive them, what that means is that you are responsible to restore it, the debt, which means you're going to have to shell out thousands of dollars to get you another suit. If you said, well, I won't forgive them, what that means is that you want that person to replace the suit. It's very expensive. Let's say it costs $5,000. I want to extract that debt from you. I won't be happy till you pay that debt. I want to exact money from you. Give me the money so I can replace the suit. Now, what's the main determining factor on whether or not you forgive or not forgive with that suit? The main determining factor is your net worth. Because if you're a multimillionaire 10 times over, let's say you're a bazillionaire, let's say you're a gazillionaire, and you have a friend that ruins your Armani suit, who cares? What's an Armani suit? I own 10 of them. I could buy 1,000 of them. In which case you would say, forget it. But what if it's the only suit you own and you're out of work? You have 7 job interviews lined up next week. And if you don't get a job, you're going to lose your house because you can't pay your mortgage. Would you still forgive? Or would you say, I'd like to forgive, but I can't because I need you to replace this suit. I need you to pay. I can't let this go. Which would you do? And so I ask, what do you do when someone mistreats you? What do you do when someone offends you? What do you do when someone steals from you? What do you do when someone gossips about you? What do you do when someone lies about you? Can you forgive them? Well, it depends on what your net worth of grace is. How much grace has God put on you? How many times has God forgiven you? How much has God done for you? How much of your debt has God paid for you? And so if you live every day knowing the abundance of grace and forgiveness that God has showered upon you, it's almost impossible to ever hold a grudge against anybody for any reason if you understand how much God's blessed you. So today, I just want to take you back to the cross where Jesus died for you, where Jesus forgave you, where Jesus pardoned you. Your bill has been paid in full. Your account says no balance, no payment necessary. And so here's the question. Will you turn to the one who died for you? If so, you can truly make your past history. Amen.
It's a blessing for us to bring this program to you every day. We exist only by our faithful partners who support us through their prayers and financial gifts. If Pastor Dudley's message has been a blessing to you, we would like to encourage you to consider joining in partnership with us so we can continue to be here every day to bless others with this important ministry. Your gifts, whether large or small, are greatly appreciated and go directly to help keep us on the air. You can find out more about supporting us by calling our toll-free number, 888-818-4777. That number again is 888-818-4777. We have operators standing by and ready to take your call. You can also support us by going to our website, liftupjesus.com/reach. That address again is liftupjesus.com/reach.
Hello, my name is Abe Anaya, and I am the Life Groups Director here at Shepherd Church. At Shepherd Church, we take a two-pronged approach in connecting folks with God and one another. We do that through worship services and small group Bible studies. You see, the Christian life is lived out when we are in community with one another. We call these life groups. Shepherd Church life groups are your way to experience a Bible study and Christ-centered community. We want to bring the people of our congregation together to love, serve, encourage one another as we grow to be more like Jesus. You see, Christian relationships are vital here at Shepherd. See how we are all better together by joining a life group. Our groups primarily meet in homes, but some meet in coffee shops, backyards, beaches, and even online. No matter what season of life you're in, there is a group for you. Visit us online at lifegroups.org for more information.
I'm Kyle Welch, inviting you to join us tomorrow at this same time as we again lift up Jesus with Pastor Dudley.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.